You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Sometimes what's going on in the NBA bubble feels like a completely different season than the one we had before the pandemic. And we've seen some unexpected stars. Who would have thought TJ Warren would be the Michael Jordan of the bubble? Michael Porter Jr. Last time you heard of him was probably when he got injured at Missouri. Now, you do have some stars who have even elevated their games. Damian Lillard certainly has. Devin Booker is known in the inner circles as a great player. You know, serious basketball fans know him, but he's played well enough to take the next step. We know about Luka Doncic. He's been dominant. As LeBron gets older, I keep bringing this up, who is going to be that face? And it's probably not going to be singular. It's going to be plural. There are going to be faces of the NBA. We know about Harden, the Greek Freak, KD, Curry. There's not going to be another Jordan. There's not going to be another LeBron. You know, maybe it's Luka, maybe it's Zion, maybe it's somebody who's not even in the NBA right now. But there have been some interesting storylines from the bubble, and we'll talk to Reg about those coming up. Here is a story that is sort of simmering, and it has to do with Nebraska football. We've brought this up that Nebraska, they're not in open defiance of the Big Ten, but it certainly feels like they're flirting with that, that they want to play football, that you have the governor, you have the school chancellor, the athletic director, the coach, everybody's all in on Nebraska wanting to play football and thinks they could do it safely with fans in the stands. This is what I was told earlier this morning by a source. The Big Ten, quote, postponed the season and didn't cancel. And that is something to keep in mind. Apparently, there is a difference, according to my source. If Nebraska were to leave the Big Ten, the Big Ten could sue. Their only option is to try and go back to the Big 12, but they left the Big 12 because they hate Texas so much. Once again, they didn't cancel the season. They postponed the season right now. And from what my source told me, maybe Nebraska, Nebraska's not going to have enough schools to play. Now, maybe they could play BYU, maybe Conference USA, American Athletic Conference opponents, maybe New Mexico State. Maybe if there's some openings with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, Nebraska could fill in some of those spots there. Because I don't know if every school is going to take on the liability that we're seeing with the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. I don't know if all those schools are going to be playing football. Big 12 says, we're going to go. We're going to try. You know, we have clarity here on what we're trying to do. We don't have certainty, but we have clarity here. But I don't know what we're going to have with the other schools in these conferences, because you might have a president, chancellor, who is going to say, on second thought, we're not able to pull this off. But as it is right now, college football is going to be played somewhere, somehow. And the NFL starts a month from tonight. And you look at the first test that came out under 1% with the NFL. I don't worry about preseason. I don't worry about the first couple of weeks. But boy, do I worry about once these guys feel like, hey, you know what? Maybe we could step out of the bubble. Keep this in mind. You talk about college kids and you put them on campus and you say, well, it's hard to keep track of them, but, you know, we're going to try to do this. The Cleveland Indians had two pitchers, professionals, who went rogue, went on out on the town in Chicago. And one was around the entire team when he got back. They're getting paid to behave and couldn't do it. That would make me nervous. That would make me nervous with the NFL. You have to police yourself. And these two pitchers, Plesac and Clevinger, couldn't do it. And then you run the risk of being with your teammates. Don't tell your teammates. You could have shut down your entire season, or at least hit the pause button there. But what's going on at Nebraska? What's going to go on at some other schools? We keep hearing whispers about Ohio State. Can they make this happen? I don't think Ohio State would do this in defiance of the Big Ten. Can't see that happening. I know they want to play. All the coaches, I'd be shocked if a coach goes, you know what? I don't want to play. You know what? I talked to my players. They don't want to play. Everybody wants to play. And I understand why you would want to play. And the NFL has to feel pretty good because they'll start on time. And as I've said numerous occasions, I don't know if they finish on time. They're going to start on time. A month from tonight, the NFL starts. Meanwhile, college football, I don't know what the schedules are going to be. College football used to start late August. Now it's going to be at the tail end of September. They may start on time. I don't know if they're going to finish. And even if they do, are we going to have a national championship? I have no problem if the ACC and SEC play a championship game against one another and say, hey, you're going to be the national champ, whoever wins. They normally play against each other, so all right. Ohio State's not in there. But other than that, should be pretty good. You might not get too many arguments here. So that's just some of the news here with what's going on with college football and the fact that the NFL starts a month from tonight. I can't wrap my head around that. I watched Hard Knocks, and Hard Knocks was basically about the medical side of this. It wasn't much football there with Hard Knocks. With both the Chargers and the Rams, then you find out Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, he had COVID, and just how they're trying to pull off these practices. So you had a couple of moments where you're just watching. Nobody's throwing the football to anybody else because you don't want to have somebody's hands on it, then somebody else's hands on it, and you're not throwing the football. You're not really having a practice. And I just don't know how these teams are going to be ready in a month. 4 weeks from tonight, first game.
Let's go.
Crazy. All right, let's go around. You got a poll question there, McLevin?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys consider the college football season legit in the sense of Dabo Swinney? Will the championship be legit this year?
Well, it's not going to be legit, but it's as close as we're going to get. Is baseball going to be legit? No. NBA, that'll be legit. Once again, I said I wasn't going to be nitpicking here. If they play football, great. You want to have ACC and SEC, and maybe if the Big 12 is still playing and they want to have four teams, two games, I'm fine with that. Ohio State not being in there, does it legitimize it? No. But if that's the best we have this year, fine. Yeah, McLevin.
I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you're a voter, but should there be a Heisman this year?
That's a little bit different.
But tricky.
It is. I think that there will be. I think that there will be. Has there ever been a year where we didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner? I know that we've had winners who lost their award, lost their trophy, but we did have a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, Paul.
The 1943 college football season had a lot of teams tap out. I would say maybe 50% of the teams tapped out for different reasons around World War II. There was a 1943 Heisman Trophy winner, Angelo Bertelli of Notre Dame. So they did keep the award, even though a good percentage of teams did not play the college football season in 1943.
Well, it probably helped that Notre Dame played that year. So that hurt me. If Army, Navy, Notre Dame played, then you could probably get a Heisman Trophy winner out of that. Yes, Todd?
If you're going to have NBA bubble MVP awards, you're going to give out a Heisman Trophy, I would hope.
You know, the fact that we have bubble awards, why do we need bubble awards for 8 games? Because they're handing out bubble awards. Like, this feels like participation trophies here. You got in the bubble, so we got to hand out awards. If you want to get, is TJ Warren the MVP of the bubble? Yeah, McLevin.
I thought so, but I got the updated stats. A lot of guys are making a run at TJ Warren. He's fallen down a little bit. He's not the leading scorer anymore.
Is he more valuable than Damian Lillard?
No, Lillard is by far the leading scorer.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Damian's run away with it, I think.
Damian Lillard, if you want to give out, okay. I'm not gonna complain. You want to hand out bubble awards? Go ahead, hand out bubble awards.
Didn't you say in November that you thought Damian Lillard and TJ Warren would battle for league MVP?
I thought it was going to come down to those two. I thought it was. Yes. Yes, McLevin.
You know, you look at these scores at the bubble, you forget Luka and Harden are both still scoring 35 points a game. Are they any less valuable than Lillard?
Well, I think Luka has had some pretty impressive performances. I don't think James Harden has had those kind of performances. The Greek Freak is going to be the MVP, the regular season MVP. That's a foregone conclusion. I think the only thing is he going to be defensive player of the year as well? And how much does he run away with this award? Because I'm hearing that he's going to win it and win it comfortably over LeBron. And rightfully so. I understand it, you know. And I started to look at the Lakers situation. I want to bring this up to Reggie. If you look at the Lakers and they face Portland, then they have the Rockets, then the Clippers. Now, this is assuming they win, and these are the possible matchups for them. So they have Portland, who's playing as well as anybody, with certainly Damian Lillard playing as better than anybody. Then you have the Rockets. They're a matchup nightmare. Then the Clippers, and you don't have home court advantage. And then let's say you would face the Bucks in the NBA Finals. That's as tough a road as you're going to find. So that's why there is no asterisk. This will be even more challenging. If LeBron and the Lakers win, this will be as impressive as any postseason run we've ever seen of level of competition you're going through. But you start to look at these numbers with the Lakers. Not a good shooting team, at least in the bubble. And it's not just three-point shooting. It's just regular field goal percentage. I think there's only one team shooting worse than the Lakers in the bubble right now. Kyle Kuzma better step up. Danny Green better step. Somebody better step up here because they're going to need just a little bit of help here. By the way, this program is brought to you by the great folks at LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. You can start online, and their network of independent attorneys can provide advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. So what is the poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
I know you don't want it. Let's put up the who's the bubble MVP. Come on, get the debate started. If we fuel this thing, it could become a thing. By the way, Luka only shooting 29% from three in the bubble compared to T.J. Warren, 53%. Luka is not deadly accurate from three yet.
Yeah, but I think he takes some really tough shots, contested shots there. I think as he gets older, he's going to be smarter in, you know, his shot selection there. But it feels like they have to rely on him to get shots up. And I think because of that, he does take some forced shots, contested shots.
Bubble burst. When you make fun of someone in the NBA bubble,
you've been bursting their bubble.
I just had a source who just sent me a text. A date to watch for in the NFL is August 17th. That's when players are allowed to wear pads and have contact for the first time. So August 17th is a date to keep an eye out on. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Bring in Reggie Miller, who joins us from the bubble. How long did it take you to pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I still have it down. Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it's Bo, not Ho. People don't understand that it's Bo, not Ho.
Thank you, Reg. Reg will be on the call. Mavs Suns at 4 Eastern, Blazers Nets at 9 Eastern on TNT. So double duty here. Should we have bubble awards?
I think it's fun. I mean, we're in unique times. This is a different situation. And certainly, I think just to highlight, again, some teams and some players have played a little bit harder than others. Some are still getting going, but it's fun. It's catchy.
Okay. Why not? Where would you showcase your bubble award? If I came into your house and you had won a bubble award, Reg.
I would say, oh, come here. I would have opened up my bottom sock drawer,
okay,
pulled it out, and like, hey, I was MVP of the bubble, you know, back in 2020.
I think we should just call it POTB, player of the bubble. Who's your pick? Damian Lillard, T.J. Warren for a little while there was the Jordan of the bubble. So who is the MVP?
Are you going with bubble MVP right now?
Yeah.
I probably would go Damian Lillard has been fantastic, incredible numbers, what he's doing to push them probably to that A spot. I have to go with Devin Booker. I mean, look, as great as, you know, 7-0 for the Phoenix Suns, no one expected them to be on this run and in contention to possibly – they still can get that eighth spot, but I still think they can get that ninth spot and have those play-in games. I think it's – you can't go wrong between Lillard and Booker. I give this very slight edge to Devin Booker just because right now they are the only undefeated team in the bubble, and they have a shot of actually, you know, playing for those play-in games in the Western Conference.
And then we have Suns and Blazers on Saturday?
If it is those two. Memphis is still in play, and San Antonio Spurs are still in play. So it's going to come down to tonight's games. Three of those teams are on our network, San Antonio, obviously Phoenix, we mentioned, and Portland. Portland plays Brooklyn in the nightcap.
The Greek Freak gets suspended for one game for headbutting Mo Wagner. What did you make of that?
Well, it's convenient that he gets one game. He wasn't going to play tonight's game anyway.
I know. Okay, if the playoffs started tomorrow, is the Greek Freak suspended for that first game?
Yeah, I still think he would have been suspended.
Okay.
Okay. I just thought maybe they were going to give him two games, and then he would have been missed game one of the first round. But it's a one-game suspension. I get it. I've been there. I've been headbutted before, so I understand it.
Wait,
I
mean, but didn't you headbutt?
No, I was headbutted by John Starks.
Oh.
I was headbutted by John Starks. And I reacted the same way Wagner did. You know, you act like you're like been shot out of the canyon. You know, you act, oh, my God. What has happened to me? Lordy. Oh, but, yeah, it wasn't that hard of a – and actually – more of his fro got Wagner than anything else.
But I thought, oh, okay. So Starks is the one who hit you. Okay.
He headbutted me.
Okay.
And got thrown out. Okay. Yes.
You should have been a theater major at UCLA. The way you played?
You got to – look, look at me. I'm not the biggest of guys. You've got to be able to use a little bit of everything. So I wouldn't necessarily, as you say – it wasn't flopping, Theodore. I was acting.
I know.
Acting.
But it helped you. But how frustrated did players get because you were flailing a little bit or acting a little bit and getting calls?
Very frustrated. And I think that's where the trash talking kind of came in, because once I would get the call and they're over there griping to the official, and then they would come to me like, you know, man up, and then I would kind of whisper things back to them, and that's how a lot of these like little in-game rivalries kind of evolve, is during those type of interactions or dramatic acting, as I call them.
Did Jordan get suspended for trying to gouge your eyes out?
No. Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
I was suspended one game. You're talking about the big fight we had. I was suspended one game.
I don't know if that was a big fight.
That wasn't a big fight. Yeah, you're right.
It could have.
That was an undercard. That wasn't a fight.
It could have escalated.
No, I got suspended a game. He got suspended, I believe, three games for that.
Okay.
But if you remember, I got thrown out of that game. He got to continue that game in Market Square in Indiana.
Wow.
That's the power of Jordan.
Yeah. We're talking to Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer. He's got two games today, Mavs Suns at 4 Eastern and Blazers Nets at 9 Eastern on TNT. I'm just looking at the numbers here. I try not to be somebody who overreacts, but I'm just looking at the raw numbers with the Lakers. Not a good field goal percentage from two-point range, certainly three-point range here. And you could be walking right into the Portland Trail Blazers or Phoenix Suns here. How much concern do you have with the Lakers now that we're winding down the regular season and the postseason starts next week?
I will say this. If Kyle Kuzma can play like he played against the Denver Nuggets when he hit the game winner, and he is that third outlet, he is that third presence on the floor, I wouldn't be so worried. But again, the game of basketball, it's not a light switch. You can't turn it on and turn it off. I like to see consistency. I like to see a team having – a rhythm and playing well as they're building up, as they're ramping up, getting ready for the playoffs. We have not seen that from the Lakers. Is it concerning? Yes. But at the end of the day, you still have LeBron and you still have Anthony Davis, who, by the way, has struggled as well in this bubble restart. So I would love to see a little bit more consistency in terms, as you mentioned, the numbers of shooting. But if they come out, and if it's against Portland, if it's against Phoenix or whomever, Memphis, San Antonio in the first round, and they go 4-1, this will be a mute point. But if they struggle, remember, these teams that they potentially could be playing, every game has been a playoff game for them. So they're already playing at playoff level. It's not a light switch. If the shooting's not there, it could be a very long series for the Lakers.
Yeah, that's what I wondered about. Let's say Portland gets in and every game has been a playoff game for them. At some point, you may run out of that energy that you have. Or, you know, can you go on a run because you've been playing at playoff level basketball there? That would be my big curiosity with no matter who the Lakers face, those teams are coming in scratching and clawing.
Yeah, you're wondering if they're going to run out of gas.
Yeah.
But I think for Portland, they have – I think they've been campaigning, especially Damian Lillard. If you remember before this bubble restart, when they were questioning who were they going to bring and were they going to have a shot at making the playoffs, Dame says, look, if we don't have a shot of making the playoffs, I'm just going to sit on the sideline and cheer my teammates on. I think that's why they formatted what we're seeing right now. And the way he is playing, I don't see any letdown on his end. The thing that kind of concerns me, though, with the Portland Trailblazers is the health report and the injury to CJ McCollum. I know he's having a back issue right now, and he's that other guy that puts so much pressure offensively on you. If he's not 100% healthy, I still believe Portland could upset the Lakers, but it diminishes their chances if he's not at 100%.
Give me the other team that you would say keep an eye on, certainly if it's in the West or the East.
Look, there's going to be some unbelievable first-round matchups. We have, like, rivalry matchups. We've got Boston versus Philadelphia, Al Horford versus his old team. We've got Jimmy Butler versus T.J. Warren, Miami versus Indiana. How about CP3 getting a chance to go against James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Russ going against OKC's. Lot of history in these first-round matchups. Something that's going to be exciting to see. I mean, if there's a team that possibly could rise up. Again, I'm putting my chips with Portland because Damian Lillard is playing on a different planet right now. And if guys continue to taunt him in the bubble, I'm just telling you guys, he is not the one to do this with. A guy that has the ball 90% of the time with unlimited range and a purple light, you do not trash talk guys like that that can put 50 on you anytime they step on the floor.
And he goes back-to-back, though, over 50. That doesn't happen very often in NBA history. And these are all big games. I'm also curious, you know, we saw what happened with the Greek Freak. We've seen some trash talking there. We've, you know, followed what Damian Lillard has been saying back and forth. The Clippers with what they were doing with Damian Lillard. Are players starting to go a little stir crazy there in the bubble, Reg?
I think so. And I think it came out yesterday that, oh my goodness, we're going to be able to bring some family and friends in here pretty soon because I think they've been in isolation. It's been them and 15 of their teammates in coaching and coaching staff and management. I think so. I think they're going a little stir crazy. And I think that's why they've kind of let up on their restrictions a little bit, being able to allowing, you know, family members and close friends, if you can prove that they're a close friend. I think they're going to open up their restrictions, and I think that will kind of lessen the tension a little bit. But again, we're getting ready for playoffs, and usually come playoff times, that's when guys are probably at their moodiest. So I don't know. I think that maybe they're going a little stir crazy, but it's fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
Do you think the NBA adopts this play-in scenario as we move forward when we leave the bubble?
I think if there is no vaccine – in the near future, I think we could have multiple bubbles next year. I think we can have an East Coast bubble and a West Coast bubble.
No, the play-in, you know, what we're seeing
in
the West.
That.
Okay.
I like it. The only disadvantage I think it is, it's for the number one seed because you don't know who – you can't prepare and you don't know who you're going to play for. But if you're the number one seed, do you really care who the eighth spot – you shouldn't be worrying about the eighth spot if you're the number one seed. I think that's the only disadvantage. but it gives a little bit of a feel towards like the March Madness. You got to play yourself in. It gives teams an actual shot of competing.
If I look at, you know, people want to look at this, whoever wins, is there an asterisk attached to it? And I said, yeah, there might be because of the degree of difficulty is harder than probably any other year that we've had in NBA history. A bonus asterisk is what you get. The Lakers with no home court advantage, let's say they would face Portland, Rockets, Clippers, and then let's say the Bucks. I don't know if you can find a team in NBA history that has gone through something like that and not had home court advantage. You throw that in there as well. That's why I have no problem saying anybody who wins a title, I'll give you 1.5 titles.
This whoever wins this championship will have won it. All the points that you just mentioned, you're going to be going through all the tough teams. And I cannot stress this enough, because being in these arenas and with no fans and these teams manufacturing their own energy, because there's been a tendency, and to me, the games have been fantastic. They've been close, they've been competitive, and I'll give all the guys credit because for the most part, they came back in shape, but they have had to find motivation in other ways. And if you can win this championship with everything that's factored in, you're right. It's an asterisk. It's an asterisk on the good side because you will have actually had to go out and win it.
Well, it's going to be fun. I don't want to have preferential treatment or say I'm rooting for somebody, but if you said the Suns and the Blazers were going to be playing against one another, I would be...
Or a play-in? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Devin Booker versus Damian Lillard. That alone, that's a headliner for that play-in game. Remember, whoever is 8 only has to win one game. The 9th place team has to win 2 games to get that 8th spot. So I love it. It would be fantastic. I'm not rooting for anyone as well, but right now my 2 bubble MVPs are Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. Let them settle it in a play-in game, and right now they've set themselves up for that to happen.
And I'm glad that we've been able to see some of these players that we wouldn't normally see. And Devin Booker is front and center because – he's one of the great shooters in the NBA. You know, he's one of the top 5, you know, form his beautiful looking shot there. I don't know how good that team is. You know, DeAndre Ayton, and I don't know. I don't know if that's a full team, but it is an exciting team to watch because of him. And the same with Portland. They have the ingredients to be a formidable team. I just don't know if they're going to be able to put it all together in time to do that. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm glad, you know, T.J. Warren, some of these other players you wouldn't normally see are playing, you know, some good basketball, and we're getting an opportunity to witness that. It's great to talk to you. Have fun this afternoon and tonight.
I appreciate it, and I'm a little upset. I'm with you. I woke up grumpy the last couple of days. Yeah. We got robbed.
Yeah.
We got robbed. I consider myself the 5th Danette, and look, I give you a lot of credit. Your reaction was great, but trust me, if I would have been with you guys in front of that camera, I would be like, this is bull. This is some bull. Easy. We were robbed. Where's our sports Emmy? You're lucky. You're lucky I wasn't with you guys.
That would pretty much guarantee we wouldn't have a shot at next year.
Maybe that's why they haven't given it to us.
Yes. But you know what? If we had won, you would have gotten a sports Emmy.
Well,
I would have made sure that you got a sports Emmy because you're family.
I'm always honored to be in your guys' presence. Again, I always tell people, they always ask, you know, how's Theodore and how are the Danettes? I'm like, I am a 5th Danette. I'm an adopted child. I'm part of the family.
Thank you, Reg.
Appreciate it, guys. Love you.
That's Reggie Aloysius Miller, Jr. III. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Let's bring in the UCLA head coach, Chip Kelly, who joins us on the program. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. Trying to figure out how to navigate the next 6 months here.
How are you planning on doing that?
Well, we have to get rulings from the NCAA of what we're actually allowed to do with our players since the season has been postponed. So, you know, what can you do? Right now, our guys are just lifting and running with our strength and conditioning coach. We haven't done any on-field work because we haven't actually been allowed to by the state and local authorities. So we were a little bit behind some of the other schools. You know, you look at network television and see other schools practicing, and we haven't been allowed to do that yet. So we're trying to navigate and put a schedule together of what the next couple of months will look like.
How were you told that the season was postponed?
We had a meeting on Monday night with all the coaches and the athletic directors, and then with the medical staff, the COVID medical staff for the league, and they kind of gave us a lot of statistics of what's going on in the Pac-12 communities in terms of rates of COVID in the areas that we live in. Then they talked a little bit about the cardiac implications that they're starting to learn about with COVID. And then they talked about testing. And so that was Monday. Tuesday, there was going to be a meeting on Tuesday morning with the CEOs, the presidents, and the chancellors of the university. And then they would vote on it, on what was going to be the determination of when do we play. And then I would get told around 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon that there was going to be a press release that we were going to postpone the season.
If it was a coach's vote, how would that have gone to play football?
You know what? I don't know if we would have voted after listening to the medical people talk. You know, I think going into that meeting, everybody was really gung-ho about getting back with our players and understanding, you know, that there are implications for COVID, and everybody knew it. But I think after our meeting with the medical people, there were some eye-opening things there, at least for myself, that I was unaware of at the time. So,
what stood out? Can you give me one of those bullet points?
Yeah, you know, I think the increased concern over the cardiovascular thing, when you look at Eduardo Rodriguez, the pitcher for the Red Sox, who's out with an inflamed heart, the young man in Indiana, you know, Feeney, the offensive lineman that had an incident. They brought up there was a pitcher in the Tacoma area in Washington, a high school kid, 18-year-old kid that died from COVID in the springtime. That could have been part of it also. So some of those things, I think, there was also a basketball player that played at Florida State that was playing overseas that passed away. So they came, you know, that starts to hit home a little bit when you're starting to hear about, you know, it's a little bit. And the other thing that we were made aware of is that you could be asymptomatic and still have heart issues. And some of these heart issues wouldn't be detected unless you had a cardiac MRI. And those are a little bit different. And hard to get from a testing standpoint is the way they explained it to us.
How did you tell your team?
We had a Zoom meeting. You know, we're still not allowed to meet with them with that many people in person. So we got the news at 1, and then we got everybody on a Zoom call at 1:30. And then our position coaches called everybody individuals, and we're in the process of touching base with all of our kids individually. And then I was down at workouts yesterday. I'll be back down again today to talk to them face-to-face, or mask to mask, I should say.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand this, Chip, where the information you have with the Pac-12, how is that different? Is it different than what the ACC or the SEC or the Big 12 have, or the Big 10 has? I would love these medical communities to get together and make it on a Zoom call and share their information. Like, we should understand this, I think, to be fair to the sport, student athlete, and really to society. What is at stake here? And what are we finding out, and why aren't we cross-pollinating and sharing that information?
That's a great point. You know, I don't know how that community talks. The other issue is that the prevalence of cases in the Pac-12 communities is different than the prevalence of cases in Nebraska, so to speak. So I think there's also there can't be a one-size-fit-all, from as I understand this, because it – some areas have been infected a lot more, and other areas aren't as infected, you know? So I think that has to be taken into consideration. There are different parts of the country that aren't as infected as this, and that's the deal. And then the next step becomes testing. So if you have a community that has a lot of COVID cases, then your testing is slower than places when there's not a lot of it. That's why I don't think there's a one-size-fit-all for some of these things, and that's where it gets frustrating when you look at it overall and say, how come – and we have to answer those questions. How come they can practice and we can't practice? But there were times earlier when we would send tests away, but it would take 7 to 10 days to get test results back. And understanding that is that we're trying to get our asymptomatic third string left guard tested, and there's people on ventilators that need to get tested. Yeah. So there's a, you know, there's a social responsibility that goes along with it too, when you're in a community that has a lot of COVID cases.
Has it hit you yet that you're not going to be coaching football this fall?
A little bit. But obviously it's not all us. I mean, women's soccer can't play. You know, I go back to the spring when we were sitting in a meeting, and our basketball coaches, you know, Corey Close and our women's basketball team was getting ready to be a high ranked team in the NCAA tournament. So they were affected. Our baseball and softball teams were affected in the springtime. So it is football, and that's our job, and that's our lives, and that's what we care about our players. But everybody's been affected by this. Mike Yam, who's a great sports media guy out here in the Pac-12, I just saw that he just got released and is not working because the Pac-12 network isn't going to be broadcasting games in the fall. So it's a little bit bigger, and I think we have to step back as individuals and say, poor me. There's a lot of people that have had implications from this, and we somehow have to get a handle on it because it's not just sports related, it's everything related. And when you get a death toll over 160,000 in this country, you know, sometimes when you say, hey, I can't play football, I maybe there's some other things that are a little bit more important than us playing football right now.
I know you hope to play football in the spring. Do you expect to play football in the spring?
You know what, that's a great question, Dan, and I don't know if we can. And I've said that, you know, can you play two seasons in one calendar year? And what is that toll? Our whole goal and everything we do, and our chancellor said it, our North Star that guides us is the health and safety of our players. So, you know, we better really look as from a health and safety standpoint, say we have a vaccine, can you actually play a football season in the spring and then come back and play a football season in the fall? That's never been done, but I think we need to look into that part too, before we just say, hey, automatically, we're just going to play in the springtime because, you know, how safe is that? And I don't know that information. And when we get to situations where it's medical and some of those things, I'm going to defer to the experts in terms of what they will tell us in it, because I don't have the answers on that situation.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Do we know if players are going to be able to transfer? Are you aware, concerned, if any of your players would be able to go and try to play someplace this fall?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from the NCAA. They just made a ruling yesterday about eligibility. You know, you would retain your eligibility if you opted out or if you played in less than 50% of the games. So that's the first ruling that we've gotten. I think this is all new for everybody, you know, as it came down with both the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And then, you know, I know obviously we're the Power Five conferences, but you feel for the guys in the Mountain West and the MAC. You know, they're done. And then people have already forgotten about the Ivy League and Division II and Division III. And, you know, we're not the only ones that have this, but the NCAA has to really come out quickly here with some rulings for everybody, because players have to make decisions. So I don't know exactly what that ruling is, and would kids be instantly eligible or not instantly eligible. And there's a lot of work to be done, even though we're not playing football, but there's a lot of work to be done, especially administratively.
How about USC and UCLA just have a scrimmage in November and we televise it? You okay with that?
I would love that. And I think Clay would love that too. We could put a bubble over the Rose Bowl and spend – you could live up at the Rose Bowl for a couple weeks so that we made sure there was no COVID and then go play. I think that would be a great experience for everybody.
That'd be great. Coach, good luck. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Kyle Brandt, co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, and he's got a new podcast. And his first guest with his podcast was Aaron Rodgers. The new podcast, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, now available on Spotify, YouTube, and Aaron Rodgers. And they created some headlines a couple of weeks ago when some of the excerpts leaked out, or they had them leak out, and Kyle joins us now on the program. Congrats on the podcast there. Nice get, the first guest there, Kyle.
Thanks, Dan. I'm thrilled to be here. And if you're starting a podcast, you better have a banger first track on that album or somebody's going to the other one. It's tough out there in the podcast streets. A lot of traffic. So Rodgers did me a huge solid, man.
Now, sources close to me tell me that Aaron Rodgers was drinking scotch throughout the two-hour interview on your podcast. Is it mandatory that every guest will be drinking to answer your questions?
Absolutely. They have to sign something that says not only will they drink, Dan, they will drink heartily. I did this on a Friday night. It was in the evening. I mean, this is like 8 or 9 o'clock. It's just when he could do it. And he sits down, and he's got a massive glass of scotch. And we talked for almost 2 hours, Dan. He pulled from the scotch throughout, up through high wire act questions, difficult topics. You could almost play a drinking game, just drink every time Rodgers drinks. And it's ironic because he's the one who got his chops busted because he couldn't chug a beer. And everyone said, ha ha, you can't chug a beer. This guy can put it back like Daniel Day-Lewis and there will be blood. It was so much whiskey and still he was so erudite and open. It was a dream shot.
What's the most honest or revealing moment you had?
Well, a couple. In a long talk, there was a couple. On the surface level, Dan, I was shocked to find out that Aaron Rodgers is a massive karaoke guy, and his go-to song is an 80s power ballad by the Scorpions called Wind of Change, which is about socioeconomic politics in the Soviet Union. It's a heavy jam. But he goes to that routinely and apparently has karaoke parties in Green Bay after games.
Okay. Now, what was the revealing moment that, like, was there something? Because we know what's happened in the offseason here when he found out they were taking Jordan Love.
Yeah. The most revealing moment, I think this what's really was startling about it, Dan, was just there was such certainty in the way he spoke about the end of his times in Green Bay. He knows for a fact that clear as day that he will one day play an NFL game without a Green Bay Packers uniform because he doesn't want to stop playing. He wants to play well into his 40s. I'm talking another 5, 6, 7 seasons. And there was no frustration, no anger, almost a touch of sadness. But when you talk about how's this thing going to end, he just says, well, they're going to go with the kid. They're going to go with Jordan Love. I know that for a fact. And it's not as if he spent the summer wrestling with it after the pick. I think he just is so calm, and I was expecting some frustration, especially as the scotch kicked in, but no, it's just calm certainty as if someone who knows what their fate is and they're just going to ride it out.
He's Kyle Brandt, co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, his podcast now available on Spotify and YouTube. I wanted to bring this up and play it for you, play it for the audience.
Okay.
And it's a little bit lengthy, but it has to do with Aaron Rodgers' view, his take on the media. So this is part of the podcast.
What I, you know, laugh at, do not spend any time watching, but unfortunately, you know, it's usually like ESPN's on here and, you know, the network's on over there, kind of in our cafeteria. It's just like four guys, you know, four men or four women, whoever it shakes out, and everybody's just trying to say the most outlandish thing possible to get the most clickbait. And I've said it many times about clickbait. My problem with putting ridiculous headlines on the stories is that in this culture where the attention span is so short for so many people, even people probably listening to this interview or watching this who, you know, can't stay on the entire time because they got other things to do and other things looking at their phone. You know, it's like all they're going to read is 8 words on an ESPN front page. And that, and they think that's going to, you know, that's what these people are trying to get people to click on because they get a 1 second page, you know, 1 second on that page that counts the page view. And the more page views you get, the more ad revenue you get. And I think it's really low-class journalism. It's like some of the headlines that get put on some of these articles that have nothing to do with what's actually content-wise in the article. I think it's poor journalism. I think it's a total lack of integrity. And I don't want to listen. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to listen to four people, you know, on some show yelling at each other about opinions that do they really feel that way? Is that like, but they're just trying to be the most outlandish, you know, opinion possible so they get the most views when it gets, you know, retweeted on Twitter or posted on a 10-second blurb on ESPN.com or something. I just think it's really done a disservice to the, you know, to the industry of journalism for sure.
So what'd you make of that?
Very surprised. The question was just, hey, Aaron, you watch a lot of football TV. What's your least favorite kind? What's the little pet peeve you had? And I thought he was going to go to X's and O's because I know he's spoken before about analysts doing X's and O's drives them crazy because they always have it wrong. We'd have some laughs. But he took a deep breath. He kind of loosened his neck up and then he let it rip. And it goes on and on. And we talk about some of the debate shows and ESPN shows. And I mentioned Stephen A. by name, and there's an inference of the Bayless types and whatnot. And he uses words like sellout, and he uses words like integrity. And he was really, really, really pissed about that whole thing. And I was surprised by it. But I think there's a lot of scar tissue there. That seemed to me like one of these things, just let it all out after years and years and years. There's a couple other things, Dan. If you pay attention to him really closely, I know you've spoken to him a bunch. I can't put words in his mouth, but there seems to be some problem with ESPN as a whole. There's another part in our conversation where he was talking about the summer of 2008, which was a huge summer for him because it was the far vacillating between retiring and is it going to be Aaron or not. And he said he was in Tahoe playing on the golf tournament. He just has a throwaway comment. He says, you know, I did the Sunday conversation because they tricked me into that. And I followed on it, and he kind of didn't want to get into it anymore. But there seems to be an ESPN issue. Again, I can't speak for him, but in 2 hours of talking, I think it was his most passionate, vein in the neck bulging type rant. And I think there's more where that came from.
Just so you know, full disclosure, I verbally spanked you a couple of weeks ago when you sent out a tweet about people in the industry maybe rooting against the football season. So I wanted to give you that opportunity to maybe clarify, or maybe it was semantics, or maybe you didn't understand that how people were going to take that. But you kind of said, I'm not quoting verbatim, but there are people in the industry who are rooting against the football season to start, right? And I told you so.
Yeah, I think it was it almost feels like certain people in the football industry are rooting for the season to be affected.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been asked, do I regret tweeting that? And Dan, for people who you were listening who don't know me, I'm not a provocateur. I don't lob grenades on Twitter. I don't say things. I don't incite. It's just not how I make my living. So sure, I regret it just because there were some people who are really insulted by it. And there are people who I respect, and even more importantly, people that I like that were insulted by it. And it sounds like maybe I'm talking to one, but at the same time, the reason why the tweet resonated and the reason why it's interesting isn't just because I made a stupid tweet and pissed people off. It's because in addition to all the people who were mad about it, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. It seemed to tap into something that people also felt, which was very strange. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Dan, if I could go back, I wouldn't tweet it because I'm not in the business of just pissing people off, but I also didn't take it down. Because I do think that there is a thread of truth to what I tweeted.
Yeah, and look, it didn't ruin my day. I just, you know, my point is that it makes my job easier when there is the NFL. It makes my job easier. People accused me on Monday when I had the story, college football is closing up shop in the Big Ten and Pac-12. People said, oh, you're getting your wish. My job has been so much tougher the last 4 months. Now we have sports. I can't imagine not having football in the fall, certainly with the NFL. So it didn't ruin my day. I felt bad for you because I understood what you were saying. I just don't know if you knew how people are going to consume it in the industry.
I think you're probably right. And listen, I make my living off football every morning too. I've taken a pay cut already. I may take another. And of course, you know, Dan, the columnist and the radio host and the NFL lifer, of course, they're not rooting for the season to be affected at all. Yeah. But it was the end of the show. It was a long show. It was a tedious show. And the Miami Marlins news started coming down. And I just got kind of depressed. I didn't like it. I felt bad. I felt down on myself. And you go to Twitter, which is the worst decision possible. And I got pissed off by some of the tone that I was reading. It's just, listen, all of you, me, of course we're rooting for this season. I think, though, there is a small yet pungent minority who are rooting for the NFL to be humbled.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was responding to.
Yes. And I think that, you know, we've heard that with baseball. Anytime I bring news that's negative news, I get people who say, oh, you might be getting your wish. My wish is that we have sports. You know, that's all. Like you're blaming the pizza guy, the delivery guy, if the pizza's bad. I didn't make it. I'm just delivering it to you. Sources close to me tell me that you have a couple of questions for me. You're going to turn the tables, Kyle. Is that what you're going to do?
All right. Well, Dan, this is my chance
to Paulie, get you. Wait, Paulie, you got some scotch?
You already had some.
Oh. I got some tequila.
All right. So the deal is, Dan, with the new show, I had to do something different. I can't just sit down and have a guest on and ask a couple questions. I don't have the platform or maybe the talent. So I asked Rodgers, and I've asked Paul Rudd and Tyron Matthew and Kirk Cousins, you ask them a trivia question. Could be totally random. Okay. If they get it, they get a point. If they don't, they get nothing. And then we reveal how it's attached to their life. So would you be willing to indulge in two questions?
Sure.
You're in.
Sure, why not?
All right, here we go. Dan Patrick, question number one. Your category is breakfast.
Okay.
Dan, what sugary breakfast cereal is infamous for cutting the roof of your mouth when you eat it?
Captain Crunch always did that for me.
Captain Crunch is right. Dan Patrick, that is right.
Thank you.
It is Captain Crunch, the Navy man. And the reason I'm asking you about Captain Crunch, Dan, is that you have a history with a different captain, a very infamous one by the name of Captain Jenks.
Yes.
And you and I have joked about this off the air, but I never got to ask you about it. You were interviewing a farcical Steve Bartman on SportsCenter when Howard Stern prankster Captain Jenks got you on live TV. Incredible moment. When you look back on that, Dan, do you shake your head or do you laugh?
I laugh because there was nothing. I mean, I love Captain Jenks and Howard Stern. So part of me is like, damn, I'm going to be on Howard Stern's show. But the other part of me is, holy bleep, I'm live on SportsCenter, and I got humbled. I won an FME by Howard and Robin. So part of me was very proud that I screwed up to get on Howard's show. The other part was, I'm live on SportsCenter, and that's not Steve Bartman I'm talking to.
Dan, I say this with due respect. I've watched you for decades. It's one of my favorite moments of your broadcasting career.
Thank you.
Because the reaction when he says, do you like Howard Stern's bleep cheese?
Yeah.
You take a deep breath, you look down, and then you look at the camera and say, we've been had.
Yep.
That was not Steve Bartman. And then listen up. Coming up, we'll play Fact or Fiction, and Warren Sapp has gone from Hunter to the Hunted. More SportsCenter after this. The recovery was incredible to that left hook.
Oh, I'm sweating as we speak with you retelling that. Any other questions?
All right, so you're one for one.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Question number two.
Okay.
Let's see if we can stay hot, Dan Patrick.
Okay.
No
okay.
help from the Danettes, please.
Okay.
Your category is cinema. What actress was nominated for an Academy Award for her role in the film Casino?
Sharon Stone.
Patrick's on fire. Ding! Two for two.
I'm in fuego. Yeah, I'm as hot as the fake fireplace behind you there, Kyle. That is
started that fireplace.
It almost looked real. It almost looks real.
It's the fire from my takes, Dan. You know that's what you got to have these days.
Yeah.
You said Sharon Stone, the connective tissue to you there. Stone, I also think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. One of my favorite SportsCenter commercials is when you hit him with a steel chair. What are your memories of hitting Stone Cold with a chair?
Well, he told me to do it harder. And he put this little pad on the middle of his back. And he had had back issues. And so the whole premise was, he's there studying in our break room. I come in. I'm doing late night SportsCenter, and he's got to stretch a little bit. And he goes, "Can you help me here, Dan?" And I grab this metal chair that I still have. It's in the studio somewhere, and I hit him. And the paper on the wall, bulletin board, was like, whoosh. And he goes, "You got to make it real. You got to hit me harder." And I go, "Okay." After the fourth time, I was like, "All right, I'm bringing all the cheese I got." And I hit him so damn hard. And he didn't budge. And he just thanked me that I hit this little pad on his back, because I couldn't imagine. If I missed, I would have broke something on him.
The last one, you crow hopped and did a full a Vlad Guerrero throw from the warning track.
Yeah.
Dan, my last follow-up is, when it came to the This Is SportsCenter commercials and the casting, did it get really competitive amongst anchors, and were their feelings hurt?
Yeah, there were people who didn't want to be part of it. I remember Bob Lee and some other anchors, they were above it. I will say that if there was a commercial shoot, a promo shoot, Stuart Scott would have been first in line to be there no matter what. Stuart was always, if you needed a SportsCenter anchor, Stuart Scott was there. We did have people who were lobbying for certain commercials with certain sports stars. And then we had, like, Gordie Howe was going to be with Oberman. Lance Armstrong was going to be with me. They, you know, some athletes ask for certain anchors to be in their promos. But competitive, yeah, a little bit. But you know what? That changed SportsCenter. That ad campaign was one of the great ones in history. But I've got to go. I can't just sit here. It's not a two-hour podcast where I can just drink scotch. But congratulations on it's great to talk to you and give my best to Good Morning America. Good morning, Football America. Good morning, America Football.
I will do that, Dan. You can spank me anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
25 years ago today, SportsCenter with you and Keith Olbermann was the 11 o'clock SportsCenter when the great Mickey Mantle passed away. And Keith actually posted the entire episode, and it was different than the others in a lot of ways. I thought you could pick it up from there.
Yeah, what we did that day when Mickey Mantle died, and Keith and I got together, and we had our, you know, coordinating producer, and we said this is different than just doing what SportsCenter would normally do, or back then, you would do the announcement that Mickey Mantle had passed away, and then you would have maybe a package that talked about maybe 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes on the greatness of Mickey Mantle. And it was different back then. You would do that and you'd say, and we'll have more later. And then later in SportsCenter, the hour-long SportsCenter, you'd bring back a feature that maybe Bob Lee wrote or, you know, somebody did and look back and pay tribute to Mickey Mantle. And Keith and I went to management and said, we think the first 15 minutes of the show should be about Mickey Mantle. He was that big of an icon. A whole generation, my father's generation, looked at Mickey Mantle as Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, you know, Hank Aaron, the, you know, Stan Musial, like that whole era. And I just said, this is different. And Keith really fought hard because he was a Yankee fan. And we changed SportsCenter that night because we just said, there are stories that are big enough the first 10 to 15 minutes before you go to commercial break should be on that person and the impact that they had. And then you hear from other people, other players who played with him, against him, and you really pay tribute to somebody. And that's what we did that night. It's one of the proudest SportsCenter's moments I ever had doing SportsCenter because I thought we really did justice to the story. And we'll post it on social media, but it was, that was a great night. Really was. I'm glad that we fought for it, and I'm glad that we had people listening in management who said, yeah, we understand it. Anything else this day in sports history?
That's it. I want to let you do that one.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.